Thanks, Steve. It's always great to be with you as well. Why am I watching the Masters in November, by the way? Makes sense.
I know. Watching Bryson DeChambeau.
I mean, one hand is great, but...
Yeah, I know. Watching Bryson DeChambeau and watching Tiger. Of course, they're now done, but sure. Yeah, it's a little different. Really different. And no patrons. I mean, different. So what was... Journey Brown's been out. And I don't think, you know, many people held out hope that he was going to still be a part of the mix for this particular season. But what was it like hearing the news that Wednesday night that this was it?
It was crushing. I mean, this is a player. He surprised me last year. You know, you don't get a lot of those, like, pleasant surprises sometimes, the guys you expect to see play really well, and others, they, you know, come out. But he was really that guy to me last year. I wouldn't say out of nowhere, but he came from, I thought fairly, you know, was a fairly big surprise the second half of the year with the way he just kind of transformed himself. I heard him use the term maturity a lot last year and then again this year, and it really it seemed to come to pass for him. So the fact that he can't play again, you know, as he was just coming into his own, that's the biggest part of that, I guess, crushes the spirit regarding Journey Brown. Is he had a chance? Hence, he's had a couple of other players. And I don't want to, like, minimize anybody's reaction to this, but a couple of years ago, there were a couple of freshmen who had this a heart condition diagnosed before they even played. So their,
yeah,
I mean, their career ended before it even they got real even got started. Here, you had a career that was like kind of getting into its own, and Jaywon Sider, the running backs coach at Penn State, pretty much said he thought he was going to be one of the better backs in the nation this year. And to lose that, and then to lose an NFL career that could have been, you know, quite lucrative for him, you know, for him to be positive, I think is going to go a long way. One of the things I go back and I had an interview with him over the spring before this even came out, and his attitude always seemed to be to me to be the most infectious part of him. That he could be such a positive person in the wake of, you know, the personal things he had gone through prior to this. And you know, James Franklin mentioned that, Jaywon Sider mentioned that. And that's what strikes me, is that I hope that that continues for him. I hope he can build upon that attitude and be successful in whatever he chooses to do.
And I think that for him, you felt after the Cotton Bowl, the best was yet to come. And that was part of this.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
And that's the part that struck me, because look, I watched him go from a sprinter in practice to becoming a far more complete running back that could run with power. I mean, that first touchdown run against Memphis in the Cotton Bowl was a combination of speed and that power all at once, and that's why he looked at him and says he is really coming to his own.
Yeah, he was a running back in that game. And when I talked to him in the spring, he referenced that as kind of a launch point for him, that he wanted to learn receiving and better blitz pickups and pass blocking, that sort of thing. Not learn, but get better at those things. He was getting bigger. He had gained, I think it was like 10 to 15 pounds, but said he was still as fast as he had ever been. I think he was really pushing toward a huge breakthrough this year. And it was funny, I saw him Saturday. I was watching the sideline last Saturday, him against Maryland, and I saw this player kind of bouncing up and down the sideline and dancing, and he was wearing street clothes. And I thought, that looks like Journey Brown, but I couldn't tell because he had the mask over his face and the gator. And I saw, okay, he's hanging out with the running backs, and I did ultimately recognize him. I thought, that's really good to see. At that moment, his frame of mind and his attitude seemed to be in a really good place, not knowing that what he was going through and what he was about to learn.
also, you and I know, being around teams enough, that the close ones, and this has always been a close team, there's a brotherhood. What do you think this has done psychologically? I mean, they've known, I mean, the players know about this, I'm going to guess. This wasn't one something that came out yesterday, I don't think. I think it's something that they've known for a couple days, I'm guessing. But what do you think it does psychologically for other players who are also 18 to 23 years of age that see this happen to somebody their age?
Yeah, it could go a couple of ways. I think when we got players after before the Indiana game, when James Franklin and Penn State initially said that Jordy would potentially be out this season.
Right.
The players spoke about him. Two guys who really stuck out for me were Pat Freiermuth and George Stout. George Stout, of all people, as the kicker, punter and kicker, I don't know what kind of interaction he was going to have with Jordy Brown unless he's, like, kicking off to him in practice, and they're going to be 60 yards apart. So that's not, that is not like a relationship I would think would flourish. And Jordan Stout called, was really just really refined in the way he discussed it. And he called Jordy Brown a role model for him. And he said, for me, we're the same age. So that struck me as really something to take note of. So I think they'd probably been processing this for a while. And then, the news hits them. As specifically now as it's final, maybe in some strange way it turns out to be, these kinds of things can be motivational rallying points too. It's odd that this news comes this week, and on Tuesday the Big Ten Network aired the 1 hour documentary about Adam Talaferro. 20 years ago, 21 years ago he was injured. 20 years ago, he came back and ran through the tunnel, and look what that did to them, the way that motivated them against Purdue. Maybe this Jordy Brown news has that sort of impact on the team that, let's go win one for Jordy.
So now that brings us to the next step in this, and that will be a trip to Lincoln to take on Nebraska Saturday. Two teams that need a win. Nebraska's playing its home opener. What early signs will you look for, Mark, in this game on Saturday from the Penn State point of view?
The first thing I would not want to see is a Penn State defense giving up a big play. It's happened back-to-back games now right away. Mm-hmm. The first play of the Ohio State game, that first series against Maryland. You want to see them get stops. You want to see them get off the field, not give up something big. You don't want to – I don't think that you want to see Penn State trailing or going down in kind of a, in that fashion, the big play fashion. They've got to get that under control. I think that's been a huge issue for them the last couple of weeks. I also want to see I'd want to see Sean Clifford be a little more composed coming out of the gate. Maybe kind of run a series of like he did against Indiana in the opener. That was still might have been one of their better series of the season. Came out of the gate right away, then just this like tumble of mistakes happened after that. But I would, not giving up the big play, and then I don't think the offense necessarily has to get big plays right out of the way. I sustain a drive, move the ball, with Sean Clifford, get him some easier throws. See him to make, getting him to make some easy throws. Move those, move the sticks, get some confidence, and then not give up something big. I think I probably even lean more on the defense in that way. I think they, for their sake, I don't think, if I'm right, Nebraska doesn't have a passing touchdown yet this season. I mean, their passing game has been just real wayward. So and that would be deflating if right away the first touchdown pass is, off a first series, something like that. They don't think you want to give up anything like that. I think you want to go in there and have that head of steam with, we've bottomed out. We can only go up, and then only to see something negative like that happen. To me, though, that's a real key.
Yeah, and I think at some point in this game, and I think it's going to happen, it has to happen at least a couple times, Penn State hasn't had a takeaway in nine quarters.
Mm-hmm.
You know the psychology of a takeaway. It can set up a short field for the offense and make life easier. It demoralizes the other team. They haven't had that in nine quarters, Mark.
Yeah, the last one, I remember the big one that stands out to me was the Lamont Wade fumble recovery.
Yes, at the end of the first half.
End of the first half against Indiana. That, you know, that was, you know, you don't get any points out of that, but that changed. That was sudden change. And you're right, they're not producing sudden change at all. And, you know, I think you turn around and see guys then looking around. It almost seems like some of these guys are waiting for somebody else to make a play, maybe on both sides of the ball. And particularly on defense, that's an issue.
Yeah, it is. And I think early on you need that. When you look at Nebraska, you talk about their passing game. Their two leading rushers are the two quarterbacks. This is very much a quarterback-centric running game for them. We have no idea who's going to start. When you look at Nebraska, what do you see?
I kind of see a little bit like Penn State, where you're putting the ball in your quarterback's hand, and there's times you just don't know what's going to happen with it. They just seem to be doing it with two quarterbacks instead of one. I think that McCaffrey might be. I've read something about, you know, Luke McCaffrey, the redshirt freshman, that he's better, or at least he showed some signs of being better in their tempo offense, and maybe that could be something that Nebraska could use in a game like this. To me, it's just going to be those three quarterbacks. Who's better in that game? I'm kind of sensing we're going to see both. Maybe Penn State runs out of situational offense with Will Levis if it gets into a position to do so, like it tried against Ohio State. That situation, maybe they try a red zone, again, if they get there, or maybe they just try something as a changeup, not necessarily as pulling Sean Clifford if they're not in that situation. But maybe as a change of, you know, I'm not sure. But I just see the quarterbacks are going to win-lose this game, in my opinion.
Has it been hard for you? It's been hard for me. Yeah. I've been trying to find answers. And I told the audience straight out on Monday, I said, I don't really know what I'm seeing here. I don't really have any answers. Maybe you do.
I can't imagine I'm going to have any answers for you or any players on that team, you know, players or coaches on that team. I'm not one who necessarily sees signs of, it's not for me, I just don't see it as well, the signs of low energy or lifelessness or something like that, or disinterest.
I agree.
Notice something like that.
Right.
You get out of position on certain plays. One thing I do kind of see is I think you do see players looking, you know, getting up after a play and then looking around and saying, what happened? Where were you? Why were you there?
Right.
Who's going to make this play? I don't know that there's, I don't know how many guys on this team. I don't think that right now there's really anybody on the defense who is like that. You know, Jahan Dotson has been a real playmaker on offense that you could say,
yeah,
he's going to make a play. And, you know, same with Pat. Pat Fryermuth, for the most part, you know, is going to be there. But they've used Jahan Dotson they've turned Jahan Dotson into their touchdown guy, their touchdown kind of playmaker this year. So you see him as like, okay, we can lean on him. We can crutch him to make a play. And if you don't see that on defense, I got to believe that, you know, the coaches are probably asking the same questions. I remember Saturday night after the game, Pat Fryermuth said, you know, Sean Clifford and Michael Mennett and I looked at each other and said, we don't know. And that's got to be such a helpless feeling for them to have, you know, to have given so much, to have given up so much just to play this year and to be in the position where you say, we don't know.
Mark, it is always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Appreciate you and appreciate the time and insight.
You too. Thanks, Steve. Enjoy your trip out to Nebraska. Do it safely.